Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's WEEI Football Sunday here. Christian Arcan, Ted Johnson, Chris Schein with you for one more hour right before the kickoff here at 1 o'clock. Big slate of games. A lot of road favorites this week, Schein. You notice that?
Tons of them.
A lot of them.
Tons
like,
of them.
Maybe a few too many, if you ask me. But we'll get to
that.
Are
the dogs barking today, Arcan?
A little bit, yeah.
We'll get tune to that in at 12:45.
A little bit later on in the show. Right now, there is one game in progress. That would be the Pittsburgh Steelers up 24-6 over the Vikings.
Speaking of a dog.
Wentz and the Vikings are having some real, real trouble out there as Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh just cruising right through them. Out in Ireland, which is where they are playing this game right now. We'll keep you posted on that as well. Schein will have more for that when he gets you caught up on what's trending. But we want to reset on the main storylines of the day. One big one, Christian Gonzalez is going to play today. Not inactive. You saw him warming up earlier this morning. Pretty good indication that he was going to play. Don't know if he's going to be limited. Don't know exactly what his role is going to be. If he's just going to be your number one corner out there playing a full game or if he's on a pitch count or what. But either way, it's hard to imagine that this defense gets any worse with Christian Gonzalez out there.
Yeah, they can't possibly be any worse with Christian Gonzalez. He's the best player you have on the roster. Like, he is, coming into this season, was easily the most talented player you had on the roster. He was your number one guy, and so having him back should hopefully impact your defense in a positive manner. You should start to kind of come back to level of being at least average against the pass instead of one of the worst teams in football against those explosive plays. He should help limit that, especially in terms of the number one receiver on the other team. And when you talk about a team like Carolina, outside of Tet McMillan, they don't have a lot going for them. Mm-hmm. Jatavion Sanders not playing. Xavier Leggett not playing. Like, their number two receiver is going to be David Moore this week. If you get
Hunter
beat by
Renfro,
if you're getting beat by David Moore and Tommy Tremble, you should call it quits.
When I was asked this question on the afternoon show about the impact of Christian Gonzalez, I was like, he'll have an impact, but it'll be minimal. Man, you think about the Las Vegas game, you think about last week's game. Mm. I think it would have been more than minimal. I think he would have been a big impact. I think because it comes down. This team is going to win. If they're going to win games, it's going to be marginally winning games. And so I feel like if it's nip-tuck like it's been, then he's going to make a bigger defense than I maybe first gave credit. So how would you play him? I would maybe – I don't know if I'd put him on the best on Tet in critical situations. Maybe you double-team Tet and you put him on two or three guy. Or you play more zone, and so that it's not as much stress. And if I'm Carolina, I'm attacking him with the run game to see if he's how he is coming up and run support. That's how I would test him. But
and they have a power run game. I mean,
they do.
Chuba Howard and Dowdle are both guys who can really pick up big yards.
No
so,
doubt.
You know, so, you run them out on the side there.
Yeah, and Christian's always kind of been, people question whether he's tough enough. I think he's an aggressive tackler. I do. I think he's trying to put that narrative to bed, but that's something that I would test if I'm Carolina today. Can he come up and make tackles in the open field?
Yeah, and we'll see if he's able to do that. I mean, he's a big, bounding athlete. I mean, he was in college, and he was his first 2 years. Great in coverage, but also someone that is not some little flea that gets right? Like, he's not one of those little defensive backs.
Strong,
this is a big,
wiry
big,
guy.
Strong guy.
Yeah.
Who should be able to do that, and if he's playing at his best, then that's part of his game. I mean, that's what you look at. I look at him, and I look at Carlton Davis, and I know that we've kind of beat up on Davis a little bit because of some of the plays that he's made, but I also wonder if maybe Davis's struggles and also potentially Gonzalez, if he struggles at all in his first game back here, could be a result of safety play. Because I feel like the safety play on this team has been really, really sketchy.
Well, that's, I think, one of the reasons why they're so bad at explosive play defense. Like, I mean, you look at that first game of the year, the Trey Tucker touchdown. Like, Jalen Hawkins just straight up gets beat. I think you're right, Arcade. I don't think the safeties on this team are very good. And so sometimes these guys feel like they need to make a play, and then they let guys get behind them, and then the safeties don't make a play. And it kind of compounds on itself. I think that's a massive reason. They don't have a guy who can just sit back there, like, one high, just, like, play center field. It's kind of like Devin McCourty used to do. They just don't have that. These guys are physical. They're tacklers. They're not the best cover guys. And it is, without a doubt, I would say, probably the weakness of the defense.
It's. I thought going into camp, it was one of the strengths. I thought in OTAs, you know. But then, you know, then Jabril Peppers was released, surprisingly. And they decided to go with Jalen Hawkins, who's in his seventh year, and he's been a journeyman his whole career.
It's not like he's played.
And a rookie in Craig Woodson, which is, you know, Craig's done okay.
Yeah, and he'll get
that's
better.
But that's a lot to ask for a fourth-round draft pick as a rookie to come in and to be good right away, I think, is asking a lot. So what I thought was going to be a strength of this team was the safety position is one of the glaring weaknesses now.
Yeah, it certainly appears that way, and I think that's cost them in some of these games. I mean, I don't think it's been the only problem that they've had. Obviously, you know, turnovers last week and everything else has been a big deal too. But and you're talking about the secondary and getting a big boost from a guy like Gonzalez. It doesn't. Let's see if the tide lifts all the boats here. You know, I guess that's kind of the point, and I do hope that it does. As far as the offense is concerned, everything last week completely overshadowed by the inability to hold on to the football. What's a week like that going to be? I mean, we talked to Mago, and she sort of gave us some insight into what it's been like in the locker room, but you have a big problem like that, a big embarrassing public problem like that. What do you do?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that. I said this on the Breakdown show with Phil Perry every Monday night, 6 o'clock, the NBC Sports Boston. Check it out. I said, you know what we would do back in the day if somebody had issues with fumbling, you put get a little pot of money going, and you tell the defense. Basically, you get paid for knocking the ball out of the guy's hand. So, and I don't care in practice, wherever, whenever that running back is got the ball, try and punch it out, try and knock it out, and you get a little $20 here, $20. You know, so guys, it just kind of raises the awareness and it intensifies. I think what you're trying to practice and get better at in practice, and I think that was what we would do is that we'd emphasize it by getting money. By knocking the ball out. I don't know if they did that. That's what we would have done back in the day.
Well, and on top of that, like, now you
work? Hold on, did it work?
Yeah, it worked.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah, it works.
We tried it, and you kept fumbling.
No. It worked. I mean, it was something. Usually in the NFL, if you really emphasize something that you're bad at, I don't care what it is, if it's red zone defense, red zone offense, turning the ball over, if you really emphasize it, it usually gets fixed more times than not.
And I think the other issue, though, is that the opposing defense is looking at it the same way. Like, oh, now we're just going to go punch everything. Mm. And you have to be even more careful because that other team knows you're susceptible to it. They are going to attack it every which way. I think Derrick Henry is now going to be facing a very similar issue. 3 fumbles in 3 straight games. Oh, I'm going to try and make you fumble now all the time because I know it's in your head. I know you're thinking about it. I'm going to go for it now constantly. And so the Patriots need to be even more cautious this week of allowing defenders to come in and try and punch out.
There were so many sound bites of Steelers defensive players saying, oh, yeah, all week, all we do is talk about how much Ramondre fumbles
and how much
Drake May turns the ball over. Oh, and Antonio Gibson, he fumbles too. All of them were basically saying, we all knew that they fumbled, and we emphasized it, and then look what happened in the game.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, and it's not like it's easy to go in there and punch a ball out when a guy's running down the field. I mean,
I'd have
to imagine that's a pretty tough thing to do. But
well,
boy,
with Ramondre, you
they did it every single time. I mean, it was like every time we got close to the end zone, someone got a hand in there, someone got something. You're right; it wasn't even always just hitting the ball. Sometimes they get his arm or whatever. And
that
just,
1 yard run was so infuriating because it wasn't even like some guy came up and hit him with the helmet on the ball or punched it out. He just like coughs it up. I'm like, dude, just you're a running back in the NFL. Just carry it 1 yard.
Put two hands over the ball, cradle it, and then fall into the end zone.
You need a yard. That's it.
Well, according to Andy Hart, we can just trade him for Derrick Henry. I think we'd be all set.
What
was
that, dude?
That was, I thought Ted was going to walk out of the studio.
I was unreal. I mean, there's takes, and then there's takes. That was a take, man.
Yeah, that was something else. Anyways, the Patriots today going up against a Carolina Panthers team that is coming off of a impressive win over an Atlanta Falcons team that has a quarterback who is drafted the same year as Drake May. He's been a lot more seasoned, I would say, in college. He played a lot longer. He's a lot older and has had some ups and downs as well, including a bunch of turnovers in that game last week. I look at something like that, and I do think that the Falcons are a team that's trying to figure it out as well. But in terms of their offensive personnel, the Falcons have the Patriots covered by a lot. I mean, it's not really even close from the running backs and tight ends and wide receivers. The Patriots don't have a Drake London on this team. You could say maybe
they don't even have a Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I mean, Henry's pretty good. I was thinking about Hunter Henry. He's kind of reminds me of, like, you remember Marv Cook? Do you guys remember Marv Cook?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he might have been before. He was before you got
there. He went to Iowa. I was an Iowa fan, believe it or not, randomly.
So he was the Patriots tight end in, like, the early 90s. And the teams were terrible, but he'd put up number, you know? Like it was, and that's sort of what Hunter Henry's becoming. You know, he's this guy who's productive and giving you numbers on a good team. He's reliable. He's steady. He's all those things. But, you know, much like Marv Cook, who, by the way, Marv, this is funny. He went back to Iowa, and he coached his rival high school, and he coached them to, like, 10 straight state championships.
No kidding.
Against the team that he, not his high school.
I wonder what high school
but his rival high school.
I got to look that up.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
I first started playing football in Iowa City.
Oh, really?
West Junior High, yeah.
No
so
kidding.
I'm going to look that up.
You could have played for Marv, maybe.
I could have.
Well, no, he was in the league then, I guess, when you were there. But anyway.
My nephews could have played for him.
There you go. But for a Patriots offense that does have some things going for it, it's not like it's a completely lost cause here. Josh McDaniels, do you have any new feelings on him? Chris Schein, I know that he's someone that gets you going.
Yeah, no, I thought last week was not a great play calling game. I just thought there were a lot of situations that Josh decided to run plays that made no sense to me. The 2 4th-and-1 tosses. Fourth and one tosses never make sense to me. I don't know why when you need a yard, we're going back like 5 in order to get 1. It never makes sense. Luckily, the running backs bailed him out in those 2 instances. That the sequence by the on the goal line, the 3 straight pass plays. That ended up, the third one ended up getting picked because it got batted at the line of scrimmage.
You need a boot in that situation. Let's go. Get under center, damn it.
You run a boot on first down and it's a touchdown. Like, it's not even that hard. It's really not that difficult, and I don't understand why they don't utilize it. It's Drake May's best weapon, and instead they insist on not doing anything with it. I also want to see, just from a personnel standpoint, and whether this is Josh McDaniels or a Mike Vrabel call, I can't really say, so this is not all on Josh McDaniels. But just from a personnel standpoint, give me more in a 3-receiver set, Steph, Booty, and Mac Hollins, and less Pop Douglas. Yeah. Give me those 3 guys. I think it allows for the most versatility. It allows for Steph Diggs to succeed the most because you can kind of move him wherever. He can be split out wide. He can play in the slot. He can be in motion. There's a lot of different things you can do with him. Mm-hmm. And by bringing in Pop, it restricts what Steph can do. And so I think you need to kind of activate him a little bit more.
And you can also make an argument that Keyshawn Booty's not getting targeted enough. Yeah. Only 12 targets. I mean,
I'm with you.
He's averaging 16.3 yards per catch, and he's only been targeted 12 times. So why not give the guy that you've been kind of he's got more snaps than any other receiver out there, yet only 12 targets.
And
that makes sense.
I want to see them take some more shots. Like, I think in the moments Drake May has taken shots down the field this year, he's looked really good. The 55-yard pass to Ramondre down the sideline, the Keyshawn Booty touchdown
Miami.
In that same game.
Beautiful pass.
Like, there are moments where I'm like, yo, like, do that more. Find a moment, pick a spot, and rip it. Just take a shot. And they just don't want to.
I think he has a beautiful – I think Drake's fade route up the sidelines to the right side is a money throw for him, man. I think they got to go to that more, and Keyshawn Booty's the guy that to run that route.
I also wouldn't hate if you gave Kyle Williams a shot. He's really good off the line of scrimmage.
I agree.
He avoids contact at the line of scrimmage, and he can get free. And if you can get him down the sideline and down the right side, Ted, I think that's the perfect opportunity to take that shot.
I want to see him before he's catching passes from Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
That'd be great. I would love that.
There you go. That's the voice of Chris Schein. You're going to hear it again right now as he gets you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, Ted Johnson's favorite segment of the week. What's the top Ted list? We got questions for him. He's got answers. It's coming up next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Your New England Patriots kick off at Gillette at 1 o'clock this afternoon as they take on the Carolina Panthers. Patriots inactives are officially out. Jared Wilson, Eric Gregory, Caden Wallace, Efton Chisholm, Elijah Ponder, and Tommy DeVito is your emergency third quarterback. All those guys are inactive today, which means it looks like Ben Brown will probably get the start at left guard for the Patriots. Some injury news around the league. Chris Godwin making his season debut for the Bucs. Baker Mayfield also a go. Tristan Wirfs also seems to be making his season debut for the Buccaneers as well. Justin Fields will return for the New York Jets on Monday night against the Dolphins, and the Ravens have placed defensive lineman Justin Matabike on IR. We've already started international play in the NFL. The Vikings and Steelers are live and underway from Dublin. It is about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Steelers currently with a 24-14 lead, and they're in the red zone, so they are threatening to add more points to their lead here. In the 1 o'clock window today, we have Commanders at Falcons, Saints at Bills, Browns at Lions, Chargers at Giants, where Jackson Dart gets his first start for the New York Giants, Eagles at Buccaneers, and Titans at Texans. In the 4 o'clock window, we have Indiana Jones and the Indianapolis Colts headed to L.A. to take on the Rams. The Jaguars are at the 49ers. The Bears are at the Raiders in the big game in the 4 o'clock window. We have the Ravens traveling to Kansas City to take on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Sunday Night Football tonight, we get Micah Parsons' return to Dallas as a Green Bay Packer to take on the Cowboys. Kickoff for that one is at 8:20. And in non-football news, your Boston Red Sox lost to the Tigers 2-1 last night. They'll go again with the Tigers this afternoon. First pitch, 3:05, right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewarded. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game for you here, and make sure to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 2:05 with Joe Weil. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's just about 12:30 here, 12:25-ish. What just happened?
The Vikings just had a catch down to like the 2-yard line here.
All right.
Oh, 3 minutes left to go. All
right. Do you want to set it up real quick?
So
tell them what's happening.
So the Steelers were down inside the 10-yard line, fourth and goal.
On
Mike
like
Tomlin,
the 2 or 3?
Yeah, on like the yeah, it was the like the 3-yard maybe line. Like the 4-yard line. Rodgers gets pissed at Tomlin in the timeout that they sent out the field goal team. Yep. Offense wants to stay on the field, right? So the offense comes back out on the fourth and goal, but because of all the arguing, limited amount of time on the play clock, Rodgers doesn't get to do any of his crap from the from under center, like trying to draw the team off sides. They run a play, get stopped short on the 1-yard line. The Vikings now down 10, are inside the 10, looks like about on the 5 or so, with a chance to go down and be only down 3 or even down 2 and then try and get Rogers. An onside kick and win this game.
This is Shimes. Like, I hope this backfires, and it's exactly
what happens.
Exactly what's happening. All right.
Third and goal for Minnesota.
God, all right.
But
if Jefferson scores, I don't care about the rest of this.
The play is like,
I need
Mike Tomlin was right. Kick the damn field goal. The game is
the
over.
Yeah, then they need 2 touchdowns instead of a touchdown and a field goal.
Aaron Rodgers, so, you drive me nuts.
From a math perspective, because I'm a nerd, wouldn't you just, in this situation, kick the field goal? Like, because if you're a Minnesota, preserve the amount of time.
If it's 4th down, you will.
Because it's pre-2-minute warning, so you get the 2-minute warning timeout. You still have a timeout.
Yep.
And, like, worst-case scenario, you can still get the ball with 30 seconds
definitely,
left.
You kick the field goal. If you can't get the touchdown, you kick the field goal here. If you're the Vikings,
Okay.
All right. All well, right. We'll get to the top 10 list in just a minute, but we want to see.
Hot game going on right now. Here. Top one. Oh,
fourth down. All right. They're going to kick. Never mind. All right. Let's get to it. It is time for our pack of questions for our middle linebacker, Ted Johnson. And Ted, I'll go ahead and start.
Okay.
What do you think of the first 3 weeks of the Will Campbell experience at left tackle?
I think he has been at as advertised. I think he's playing great. You don't hear his name that often. He gave up in the first game against the Raiders. Him and his running mate there, the left guard Jaden Wilson. They gave up a sack, but other than that, he's been solid. He's been solid and better than maybe I thought based on a lot of the stuff I saw and heard in training camp. So I'm very happy about Will Campbell so far.
So we are playing the Panthers this week, Ted. Do you have a favorite memory from the Super Bowl against the Panthers outside of playing against Jermaine Wiggins?
I have a couple. That was an incredible Super Bowl, if you remember things that happened at halftime.
That was the year you broke your foot, right?
That was the year I broke
my
foot.
Did you,
yeah,
did
good
you play
memory.
In that game?
In the Buffalo game, week one.
It was week one, that's right.
Yeah,
right,
week
it was the
one.
Beginning of the year, okay.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Good memory. Holy cow. But that's nice. Houston's my hometown. I grew up an Oilers fan. My love of football started with the Oilers. I was a captain that year. And so I'm out there for the opening toss. And the Vikings just scored, by the way. Opening toss. And I was out there next to Earl Campbell, who was my favorite player growing up. The first number I ever wore playing football was 34. And I got very emotional that I was in a Super Bowl with my hero, Earl Campbell, out there for the coin toss with me. That's a great memory. And then the second one was when Tom Brady moved our offense down the field into field goal position to essentially seal the game and win it. I remember he came, walked right over to me and Larry Izzo, calm, cool, collected, like, all right, well, this is we can't do anymore. Let's hope this thing goes through. I just remember the ice in his veins in that game coming over to talk to me and Larry. But Earl Campbell and Tom Brady, two of the best memories from that Super Bowl.
So quick follow-up, if I may, just because you mentioned the ice in the veins. A lot of people have been complaining about, like, Jalen Hurts' lack of emotion at times.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, he is stone cold in big situations like that. Do you think that's a good thing for quarterbacks, or do they need – because at times, I mean, Tom Brady was really fiery. But in certain moments, he kind of picked his spots to be ice cold.
I think it's better to have ice in the veins and to keep your blood pressure down more than the other way around, I think. The guys that get too hype, like Philip Rivers, for instance, you know, like great quarterback, but just too emotional.
It got in the way,
I think, of his game, you know.
Interesting.
Ted Johnson, why is this Patriots team so bad at home?
You know what? It's hard to explain other than there's more pressure at home. Some teams play better on the road because they don't feel the pressure of their home fans. And I'll be honest, sorry. You know, Johnny Tavai called you guys out. As a player, I wouldn't do it. But now that I'm in the media, I've been to a Patriots game, and I'm just amazed at how quiet it is. Mm. It is just eerily
so
quiet.
It's very polite.
Yeah. It's just very polite. I don't know if all the
it's what Rory McIlroy wants at the Ryder Cup.
Right.
There's
the Beth Page is louder than Gillette.
No kidding.
The environment at Gillette just isn't conducive for, like, it's. Let me just say, it's on the polar opposite side of the Buffalo Bills Stadium.
Oh yeah.
So it's just not a place that's ruckus and gets in the head of the opponent that you're playing.
So Bryce Young was the number one draft pick a couple years back now. Ted, is Bryce Young just bad, or is this more evidence that height actually matters at quarterback?
I think height actually does matter. You know, Russell Wilson's been able to do it. Drew Brees. You ever notice how Drew Brees throws a football?
His tippy toes.
And he's always looking up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh.
Has to.
So he had to compensate for.
That's why Russ never threw over the middle of the field.
Right, because of he wasn't tall, so he had to kind of look up over the linemen to get passes thrown. He was exceptional at it. Bryce Young isn't, and I do think height does matter and reflects why he's not the quarterback that maybe people thought.
Ted, what is Mike Vrabel doing well?
You know what? Unlike Shime, I do think there's a sense of urgency, and I agree with Tom Curran in that. I thought he did. It was very, very aggressive in the offseason, getting the players he wanted, trying to cultivate the kind of team he's trying to get. I like he made some tough decisions on the roster to get the team where he wants it. I think he has a clear vision on what he wants and the players that he wants. And that so far to me has been on point. Some of the in-game management stuff, a little questionable. But I just think he had a phenomenal offseason. I was asked to grade Mike Vrabel after the game on NBC Sports Boston post game, and I gave him a C+. The fact you're 1-2, that's going to knock you down. But I thought he had a tremendous offseason that kind of is supplementing kind of the bad start. I think Mike's got the culture going in the right direction, in my opinion.
Ted, which undefeated team will remain undefeated the longest? Your current list of undefeated teams would be Buffalo, Indianapolis, the Chargers, the Eagles, the Buccaneers, and the 49ers.
Oof. It's to me, it's got to be the Eagles or the Buffalo Bills. I think there's a chance. You know, the Eagles are going to play Tampa Bay. They're both 3-0. I think, you know, you heard Baker Mayfield say, hey, the heat is a factor. I played in the hottest game ever. It was in Tampa. I'll never forget. Back in 1998, we got drilled. I think the heat's going to be a little bit of a factor and maybe affect Philly. So I'm going to just say, at the end of the day, it's going to be Buffalo that is the team that is going to stay undefeated the longest.
I would just like to...
Bill's got the Saints today, so it's not going to end today.
No, they're like 17-point favorites.
And the Patriots.
I would like to point out, though, the Chargers' schedule. Outside of the Colts, they really don't have a super difficult team until like week 12 against the Eagles.
Yeah.
So that's a team to keep your eye on as well, I would say.
And Herbert's playing on
Lights
fire
out
right now. Yeah.
All right, very good. Ted Johnson, Marcus Jones was fined almost $10,000 for a low block, even though he was the defensive player trying to make a tackle on Pat Freiermuth. Fair or unfair?
That's
that fine.
It's unfair. Why don't we? You know what? Just tie guys' hands behind their backs. What do we? the competition committee needs to just have a rule where defensive players cannot use their hands. They have to tie their hands behind their back and to make it more advantageous for the offense. You look at that play, it was a bang-bang play. Look, I get what they're trying to do, but I wish I played in this era of football. There's no cutting at all. We would have beaten the Broncos a lot more than we did because all they did was cut and it was very effective. But that was a bull crap call. The guy was making an aggressive play, and I didn't like that call at all, Christian.
Ted, Roger Goodell says that the teams love traveling for international games now. Do you think football will ever actually catch on globally?
I think it has a chance. I don't think it's going to catch on globally in the sense that countries are going to start having their own leagues.
Like the World Cup?
Right. It's not going to end. But the NFL game, I think, will stay popular. And I'll never forget, I walked onto a plane one time, and Paul Tagliabue, the former commissioner, he was the commissioner at the time when I was playing, and I talked to him, and he was reading a book on China. And I was like, Kamish, what do you read? He's reading a book on I think he lives in China, or he used to live in China. He's trying to bring football to China. I talked to Robert Kraft about the playing internationally. His dream was to always have a game in Israel, which just sounds crazy. But the job of all these commissioners is to expand their game globally. I think the NFL is a global sport. It will never be a sport that is ingrained in the communities of those countries, I don't think. And so it's just going to always be an American sport, in my opinion.
All right, Ted, this week on Monday, we lost Bobby Greer, passed away at the age of 82. How important was Bobby Greer to the Patriots dynasty?
You know what? It's hard for me to give to my – and Bobby, I love you, man, RIP. I just feel like it was mostly Parcells that did the picking, and he had players that he identified that he liked. So the players that were brought in those mid-90s teams, I don't think it was much of an influence as Bobby Greer as I do. It was Bill Parcells, and underrated impact is Charlie Army. Charlie Army was just under Bobby Greer. I think he had a big role in getting me here. I know that. And so I think Bobby didn't have as much of an impact as you might think.
Ted, question for you. Why is your jersey not on sale at the Pro Shop?
You know what? I have a theory. I can tell you a theory. If you just go read the New York Times in February of 2007, there's a little article, if you'll see, that about my story around concussions and what happened to me. That story came out in February of 2007, and my relationship with the Patriots pretty much ended and has been the same ever since. They never really forgave me for telling that story, even though it wasn't a story about the Patriots. It was a story about what happened to me and to help guys learn from it, and hopefully the league can learn from it. And that's what's happened. The trickle down, you know, it kind of led to the first concussion summit that summer, and a lot of rules were changed based on that article. So I'm proud that I did it, but it hurt my relationship with the Patriots, and that's something I'm told I've never really been forgiven for.
It was almost 20 years ago, and as much as they might be mad at you for it, you think they would like the money from selling the jersey. You know what I mean? Like, people will buy your jerseys. You're like a man about town. You're part of the local media. You would sell a lot of jerseys.
It's to them, it's principle. You don't tell family secrets. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was the rule. But that was something in their eyes they see as unforgivable. The owners do not want. The concussions scare owners more than anything else, more than any other subject. If you ask Albert Breer, he will tell you that. Owners do not like anybody bringing attention to concussions. And I put a big spotlight on it, and they haven't forgiven me for that.
I wonder if you go and like ask for like a custom 52 John, they're like, nope. Sorry, no. Can't do it.
You have to order that online.
remember when Michael Vick, when people were ordering the Ron Mexico jerseys, and the NFL had to stop them? They say, you can't do Ron Mexico jerseys. Those are against the rules now. You can't do that. It's like profanity. Ted Johns is like a profanity in the Patriots
ineligible.
Pro shop. All right, last question here for me. Mark Wahlberg is going to be the keeper of the lighthouse?
Yes.
The ringer of the bell? Light. Keeper of the light, Mark Wahlberg is that guy today. Hopefully he doesn't leave at halftime. What's your favorite Wahlberg movie?
Oh, there's a lot. Deepwater Horizon, I love. Boogie Nights, are you kidding me?
Love Dirt. Boogie Nights.
Lone Survivor, he was excellent. But my absolute favorite movie that Mark Wahlberg was in was when he was Sergeant Dignam in The Departed. Give it a little listen.
Unfortunately, this has more leaks than the Iraqi Navy.
Tough.
I'm tired from your wife.
How's your mother?
Good, she's tired from my father. UMass Boston, which happens to
South Boston?
Oh, you're a genius, huh? Who forged your transcript?
Without asking for too many details, do you have anyone in with Costello presently?
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. My theory on feds is they're like mushrooms. Feed them keep them in the dark. Girls, have a good day.
Oh, excellent job, Thomas. Way to get all those bleeps. I thought Sergeant Dignam in The Departed was one of the best characters ever, and so that was my favorite movie that Mark Wahlberg starred in.
Favorite Wahlberg movie, Sean?
What's the one where he was the Philadelphia Eagles player that walked onto the team?
Oh, Invincible.
Invincible, yeah. It was great.
No, what was that guy's name?
Papali.
What's
Papali,
the other one?
Vince Papali.
We Bought a Zoo, also a great Mark Wahlberg film. Yeah, and by great, I mean horrendously bad.
I thought it was Matt Damon and We Bought a Zoo.
That was Matt Damon.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Yeah, did I mess up? Oh, my fault. I thought he was.
Man, how dare you disparage the great cinema of We Bought a Zoo here on this program. All right, Teddy, that's all we got for you today. I know you got TV to do, so get lost, and I'll see you next week. Ted Johnson. Great stuff as always. That just means it's me and Scheim here. Woo! For the last 10 minutes of the program, and we're going to get real degenerate here. We got some picks we want to make. We got some lines to look at. We got some anytime touchdown scores we want to tell you about. We'll go down the list of all the games that's coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On Football Sunday. That is correct. Then there were two. It's just me and Scheim here as everybody else left us behind. This is what happens when we're unsupervised.
Yeah.
We start getting real
all
greasy.
We want to do is talk about gambling.
It's basically it. That's
and
what we do.
Carson Wentz throw this game away.
Break. Yeah, this has been just for them to even be back in this. And there's a completion to Hockenson. So we'll see if they can get in the field goal range for Reichert there, who does have a big leg. They're stopping it on 3rd and 15. We'll get you caught up to speed on what happens at the end of that game. But it is a very interesting week 4 here in the NFL. There are a ton of road favorites. And let's go ahead. We'll pick the games. And if we see anything in any of these games that we also like an anytime touchdown, an over-under, or any of those type of prop bets, we'll throw those in there as well. Thomas, take it away.
So first up, we have the Chargers with my goat, Justin Herbert, versus the Giants. Chargers are 6-point favorites.
Okay. Now, the Chargers and Herbert's your goat because of his girlfriend, right? That's why you're all
Madison
in
Madison Beer, yeah.
Who is Madison Beer?
She's really
a smoke
popular.
Show.
Is she a singer? What is she?
Yeah, she has like some
just
music.
Hot.
Yeah, she's just like one of those people that's just an influencer.
It's like modern-day prime songs. Megan Fox from Transformers, Arcan.
Okay. I'm not familiar with her I'm not familiar with anything about her.
Her
really,
music's kind of trash.
But I will say that I think her boyfriend's going to have a good game today, and same. So does Vegas. 87% of the money and only 61% of the bets are on the Chargers here. It's not a huge line, laying less than a touchdown. Some books have it at 6. FanDuel has it at 6.5. I think it's an easy Chargers bet here.
Yeah,
too easy.
I just stay away from a game like this just because of the Jackson Dart effect. His first game, there could be that little like kind of bump that a Giants get, and they backdoor cover at 6. So I kind of stay away, but I would lean Chargers if I was going to pick the game. I'm with you.
Up next, we have the Browns at Detroit. Detroit are 10-point favorites.
I know Detroit was awesome against Baltimore, but like this Browns defense, outside of a half of a game against Baltimore, has been elite all year.
They're for real, yeah.
They've been so good. I don't know that I can confidently lay 10 points against that defense. I'll take the Browns and the points. I don't love it. It's not my favorite bet of the day, but that's where I would go.
Yeah, the only thing that has me reconsidering that is while Cleveland's defense is very good, I think Cleveland's offense is turnover prone, and that
sure.
Detroit is going to be able to go out there and get after Flacco, whoever
Detroit's
it is.
Detroit's defense also good.
Gabriel, whoever they put in Shadur. I mean, we'll see. But yeah, Detroit's got some guys on that line who can really rush the passer. That can lead to turnovers, and that may neutralize Cleveland's good defense. That being said, 10 points is a lot of points. I think I might go Cleveland here too.
Eagles are at Tampa Bay. Eagles are 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I'll take the dog here. Give me the Buccaneers, a 3.5-point dog at home. Tristan Wirfs is playing today for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is huge. He's one of the best left tackles in football. Baker's healthy. Chris Godwin is back. I'll take the Bucs and the points here. I also like look at Sterling Shepard for some receiving props because I don't think Godwin will be featured. Shepard will get some time. Like 40 yards is plus money there. So I like Sterling Shepard to have a decent day as well.
Yeah, this one, I smell a little bit of a rat here because the bet percentage and the money percentage are almost identical here with this 3.5-point line. 33% and 2/3 of the money is going to Tampa Bay to cover the 3.5. It's almost too much. So I think I'm going to go with Philly here. I just think they're better. I know this is the start of these road favorites, but I think the Eagles eventually, you know, are going to put it together with that offense, and this could be the game where it happens. Even though it's on the road in Tampa Bay, I just feel like eventually Philly's going to click, and we're all going to feel stupid for having ignored it this long.
Oh, I can't believe you're betting against 2-minute Mayfield there, Arcan. New Orleans Saints are the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are 15.5-point favorites.
Yeah, this spread is stupid. I'll still take the Bills. Don't care. Unfortunately, I think the better play here is to like look at like James Cook rushing props because Buffalo doesn't care about blowing teams out. They just run the football. They want to get out of here. No turnovers. Don't get anybody hurt. Take the win and move on. Like, that's the way they play. So maybe the better side is to take the 15.5, but I'm not betting against Buffalo. That's
yeah,
silly.
I'm not betting against Buffalo either. And in that same vein of what you're talking about there, Shime, I like Spencer Rattler attempts going up over that because
yeah.
You know they're going
to
be in the
they
hole. You know they're going to have to throw a lot. Kamara and the other running backs on that team haven't really been able to do anything because this team's trailing all the time. So I think Rattler, I don't think he's going to do anything with it, but I think he's going to throw the ball a lot. And, this is one where it's overwhelmingly, even more of the money's on Buffalo than the bets are, and almost all the bets are on him. So, that's where I'd go. I'd probably lean on the under. It's a big number. It's
48.5.
I'd probably lean on the under there. I'd go over on Rattler attempts, though.
The Washington Commanders at the Atlanta Falcons, and the Commanders are 2.5-point underdogs at the Marcus Mariota.
I think the Falcons bounce back. I don't love this. I'll probably just ultimately stay away from this game. To be honest, I might go over 43.5.
Okay.
I think last week kind of showed you, with Mariota at quarterback, the Commanders are still functionable on offense. I actually think he's a little bit more of a risk taker than Jaden Daniels has been the beginning of the season. I don't hate the over at 43.5.
Yeah, I'll tell you that Vegas doesn't like it. 71% of the money is on the under, and 78% of the money is on Washington plus 2.5 here, along with most of the money on the money line there. I agree with you. I think Atlanta, after a game like they had, a division game like that, getting blown out by 5 scores, you have to bounce back.
Yeah.
You have to bounce
back.
And at
home, in a dome. Like,
a Washington team who's fine, but it's Mariota, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't see where the juice is for that. So I'm leaning Atlanta, but I probably wouldn't touch this game either. If it was anything more than 3, if it was like 3.5, I'd say no, but it's 2.5. I think I'd go with that as well.
Tennessee Titans are at the Houston Texans. Texans are 7.5. Yeah, this game's gonna be terrible. 7.5-point favorite are the Houston Texans.
So it's a terrible game, but it's the perfect game to bet. I love the under 39.5, and I want plus 7.5 with the Titans. The Texans can't score. The Texans defense is really good. I think the Titans defense has low key been all right. Like, I don't think that I know they've faced some tough teams, but I don't think they've been bad. I don't think Cam Ward is atrocious. I don't think he's great, but I don't think he's atrocious. He's still learning. I'll take the Titans plus 7.5. And the under 39.5.
All right, I think I like I think I like that under as well. That's one that jumped out to me there too. For Houston, 7.5.
You
is too
can't
much for
lay
me.
7.5 with an offense it's that's averaging 12 points a game.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
And I don't really believe in Cam Ward and those Titans and what they're doing either. But that's just too many points in a division game with two bad teams. So I'd go with Tennessee there too.
Indiana Jones and the Indianapolis Colts take on the Los Angeles Rams. Rams are 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I don't know why Indiana is a plus 3.5-point dog. I'll take the dog. Give me Indiana Jones. I'm going to keep betting them until it fails me.
Their running game has been tremendous.
Yep.
Jonathan Taylor has been awesome. I think that when you look at Indy and what they've put together so far this year, it's been very, very impressive. And Daniel Jones getting that team out to a 3-0 start has been pretty remarkable. But I think the Rams put them right in their place.
Ooh.
I'll go with L.A. there, and I'll lay the 3.5.
Jacksonville Jaguars with the 49ers. Niners are 3.5.
The Mac
point
Jones
favorites.
Revenge game, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I don't think
he's
Jones
not
playing.
I know, but it's still a Mac Jones revenge game.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like this game at all. I will not touch it. That hook scares me. If you're making me pick it, I'll just take the 49ers on the money line, and I'll like lay the extra vig. Don't care.
Yeah, I like the Niners here. I think the Jaguars are still figuring some things out, and I thought they did look a lot better last week. But the Niners are a team that has elite talent at various places up and down that lineup, which the Jaguars are still sort of looking for answers with, and we'll see if Hunter becomes that or Brian Thomas. I mean, he's having a tough year so far. Trevor Lawrence isn't what they expected. I like the Niners here, minus really whatever, but if it's 3, if you can get that number at 3, I'd jump on that.
Baltimore Ravens are at the Kansas City Chiefs. Ravens are only 2.5-point favorites.
Yeah, this is my favorite bet of the day. Ravens first half, minus a half a point.
You like, surprised they're favored?
No. Not at all. They're averaging over 30 points a game. The
right.
offense is insane.
They're 1-2.
Yeah, I agree. I understand that. They get off to insanely fast starts. I don't trust them to win this game. I do trust them to win the first half. I love the Ravens first half money line in this game.
I like the under in this game. I think I would probably hammer under 49.5 here just because I think the Ravens are going to go out there and have trouble with that Kansas City defense. I think that that's going to be something that throws a wrench into their gears. There will be points that get scored, but I think it's not going to be this big high-flying showdown, and the Chiefs have their struggles too. I might sprinkle in on a Tyquan Thornton touchdown here, though,
same.
Because that is not a Ravens defense that scares me at all.
No, Tyquan Thornton, by the way, to have 100 yards in this game, 16-1.
That's pretty good.
I kind of like that.
I mean, listen, 16-1 odds, you got to take
it. You got to take it.
You got to take it, of course. What else?
Last one, because we're almost out of time here, Arcan. Panthers are at the Patriots. Patriots are 5.5-point favorites.
Yeah, give me the Pats, baby. I'll lay 10. I don't care. I think the Pats win today 31-17 over the Carolina Panthers.
I think the Patriots win as well. If I was betting on the money line, I would hammer New England, but I'm not. I'm going to go with Carolina to cover the 5.5.
Wow.
To get within at least 5.5, I don't think that's that crazy. I think these are two teams that are trying to figure out some early things about themselves. They both have some good things and bad things to look at, but yeah, I think this game might end up being pretty close, and I also kind of like the under of 43.5 there, too. I like a lot of unders this week.
All right.
There
that'll
it is.
It for us.
That is as degenerate as we get. Stick around. We got football all day long here. We got the Red Sox as well, their regular season finale. And I believe we'll have Fitzy and Andy Hart with the Six Rings postgame show after the Patriots are done. That's all for us. For Ted Johnson, Chris Scheim, and Megan Ottolini, I'm Christian Arcan. Enjoy the football, everybody. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.